אנחנו קוראים בספר זוהר לעם.
We are reading from Zohar Lam, Zohar for All.
Reading
on page.
את הספר ניתן להוריד באתר קבלה לעם, וניתן גם לשאול שאלות באתר קבלה לעם, kab.co.il. שאלות נבחרות הקשורות לחומר הנלמד.
Letter 222.
ספר זוהר לעם, עמוד 30, פרשת וישלח.
Zohar for All, letter 222. Title, who is this who comes out of the wilderness? Pillars of smoke were billowing upwards. These pillars of smoke from the offerings, when there were offerings on the altar, would always rise like that smoke. There was no anger at the world, and Israel were not exiled from their land. If there is a sacrifice, meaning each time there is a will to receive, which we can sacrifice to resemble the Creator more and more, each and every day, and smoke rises from it, meaning returning light, then surely Israel is found to be in their land, and they were not exiled. 223. Who is this who comes up out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke? When Israel were walking in the wilderness, divinity, Rav says, in the wilderness, meaning darkness, complete emptiness, obstacles. Yes? And upon this, a person needs each time to acquire the attribute of bestowal. Divinity was walking before them, and they were walking behind her. If a person yearns for assistance, that he has something to go along with, that he chooses not to go with his nature, but rather with the Creator, then he has the pillar of fire, the clouds of glory. He has these signs which he goes with as he rises in the degrees. As it is written, how thou went after me in the wilderness. Thus divinity walked before them, and they followed her. This implies that they were receiving from her achoraim, meaning that all the tendencies were how to connect together, because the divinity before them means that this is truly found to be in their head, how to connect together to be as divinity. Divinity is called Knesset Yisrael, the connection between all the souls. 224 on page 35. And divinity was walking in all the clouds of glory with her. And when divinity moved, Israel moved, as it is written, and whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tent, when she went up, the clouds rose up, and all the people in the world see and ask and say, Who is this who comes up out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke? Meaning the desires which can follow the divinity, meaning to join this intention to bestow, so they go. And those who still cannot go, they're called the nations of the world. They still can't. But they too have revelation and are in some partial advancement. This is how a person advances. He scrutinizes between the desires in him which are called Israel, and those called the nation of the world, the shells, and he sorts them. He raises some of them to sacrifice, to smoke. The main thing is that the divinity, meaning the generality of Israel, the connection between everyone, to correct the breaking, is found as the main goal before him. 225 on page 36. The cloud in which divinity was seen was smoke, since the fire that Abraham and his son Isaac had lighted gripped her and did not let go of her. And when that fire gripped her, she emitted smoke. Meaning the gvurot, which are the fire, which is the fire, the left line, they were connecting with the will to receive, working together, screen and thickness, and thus they would raise returning light called smoke. We learned someplace, yes, if you remember, in Bala Sulam's article, that Ashan, smoke, is Olam Shana Nefesh. If a person arranges himself this way, he takes his will to receive, he arranges it, sorts it, and connects it to the Creator. He arranges it in accordance with the Creator. And in that same returning light, he opens for himself the opening to the next degree, which is called to the new Olam Shana Nefesh. World year in spirit, which is the new line. When the left line of Bina shines without right, its illumination is like a consuming fire. And when divinity is in the form of a choraim, she rises and cloths the left line of Bina. And then she is lit up by this fire, because Isaac, Yitzchak, is the left line of Bina. Avraham extended it, and before he was included in the right, he was as a consuming fire. Also, divinity was lit up by this fire, while she was in the form of Achoraim. And during the correction of divinity, when she receives the complete mochin of Panim de Panim, face to face, when she imparts illumination of Chokhmah, she imparts with those kelim, those vessels that are like consuming fire. This is because she received from the left line of Bina while she was in Mochin de Achoraim. Well, we've learned this in many different times. Let's say you have the host and the guest. The guest flees his will to receive, and the host tells him, "No, you must do me a favor, you know, prepared everything for you." And then the person already places the bestowal, the divinity, the creator is the head. And for this, a person arranges all his actions. Then he awakens the left line called Yitzchak Bina, which is the overcoming. Elokim, Gvurot, they come from the Bina. And when he awakens in this, to continue his will to receive on the intention to bestow towards the host, because with what else will he enjoy to the host himself? Then it's called that we are working according to the left line, the line of Yitzchak, and he already has an ascent. This fire does not part from the Nukva, even when she is in Mochin de Panim, because through them she gives illumination of Chokhmah, because then she evokes the Kelim de Choraim, which are like a consuming fire and emit smoke. 226. Perfumed with mirth and frankincense. Perfumed means she is connected to the other two sides that are mitigated, included in one another, which are Abraham's cloud to the right and Isaac's cloud to the left, with all powders of the merchant is Yaakov. This means that she was connected in the three lines: mirth, the right line, Avraham; frankincense, the left line, Yitzchak; all the powders of the merchant, the middle line, which contains both, and is therefore called merchant, for it has mirth and frankincense. 227. powders of the merchant are the righteous Joseph, Yosef. This is because Yosef's coffin, who is Yesod, went to her. And he is called merchant because he was gossiping on his brothers before his father. Powder connects to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Yosef, which are as one and have one form. As it is written, these are the generations of Yaakov, Yosef. This is why it is written, all the powders of the merchant. Since the place from which the river comes out, meaning Yesod, which is Yosef, waters everyone, and everyone's faces shine. 229. We are delving deep inside us. Each one tries to feel within his desires. Can he identify something from what is written here? This exertion opens up our sensation for the spiritual reality. 229. And when Israel were in the land and were bringing up offerings, they were all properly near to the Creator. And when the offering was done and the smoke rose upright, they knew that the smoke of the altar lit the candle that was meant to be lit, and everyone's faces shone, and the candles were lit. Candles are the sefirot of the nukva, the light of the fire. 230. Since the day that the temple was ruined, Nukva lost her screen, there is not a day without rage and fury. As it is written, a God that hath indignation every day. Joy had been taken away above and below. Israel walk in exile, and they are under the authority of other gods, meaning desires and intention to receive, Rav says. Then the verse, and there shall thou serve other gods, comes true. 231. But why has all that come to Israel? It is because thou didst not serve the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart by reason of the abundance of all things. What is the abundance of all things? Here it is abundance of all things, and there it is want of all things. Yesod is called all, as it is written, all that is in the heaven and in the earth. And when Israel were in the land, Yesod was shining for them, and it was said, abundance of all things. But abroad in exile, it was said, in want of all things, for Yesod is not shining there. This is why it is said, therefore shall thou serve thine enemy, whom the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. So, it depends what a person's state is found to be in. Rav says, he has screen. Does he work with his desire to receive and intention to bestow? It's called he's found to be in the Creator in the land of Israel and redemption. He raises smoke, this fire, sacrifices, and so on. He processes the connection through all the different actions that the desires grow above the screen, and then that's called he exits to exile. He loses the connection with the Creator, the screen, and then as a result, the enemies, they jump him, that the you shall work your enemies, as written. So it all depends on the extent of the screen, the overcoming. Is he capable of receiving it from above or not? Of course, he himself has the overcoming of only to request. 232. Until the Creator awakens and redeems us from among the nations, as it is written, then the Lord thy God will return, will turn thy captivity. Questions? No questions? Okay. Oh. Why does the work have to be in happiness? Happiness is a sign that you are performing actions and the intention to bestow. Not that you are by obligation, by lack of choice or fear, work under blows. Happiness is a sign. The mother who gives something to the child and he accepts it and he's happy. She has happiness. How does he? She speaks about it. He ate well. He took it from her, and how he acted and there and so on. The giving. How can it be possibly the bestowal, the giving, that comes from love would not awaken happiness? How is that possible? And happiness is the result of good deeds. Rather, a person who's under the influence of his will to receive, the ego, so usually he's under pressure, he's upset, he's in suspense towards the Creator. And thus, the attribute of chesed, the attribute of faith, comfort, nullification of the self with respect to the upper force that will influence me and correct me in the intention to bestow and give me forces. This has to be in happiness. Also, the turning to the Creator cannot be not in happiness. Cries are not heard. When we say that only the gate of tears, the last gate that's opening, that's the gate that's called that a person wants to resemble the Creator. And he cries from this that he cannot do this. And not that he's just crying. He's crying from this that he's reached such a deficit. You can't turn to the Creator in crying. If you're doing that, you're complaining about this, that he's arranged the state for you, the status. It's like you're not satisfied with what he's giving you, that you're upset about it. That is definitely a sign that you're not trying to be righteous. The happiness state is from states that from the worst to the best, in the true form. Otherwise, the person's on the intention, in the will to receive, and the intention to receive, and he has nothing to complain about. But if a person raises himself to a level of happiness, that he doesn't care what will happen then, because he's requesting the force of bestowal, then he receives it. There are matters here which we cannot process yet so much. They are quite delicate. How can I be in this request if I'm already happy and like don't want anything more? It's true though, if I want only to bestow, my happiness is from reaching this request, to request a force to bestow. But what's happening with me in my own private vessels, I'm found in truly in satisfaction. I don't need a thing.
Bala Sulam writes in articles, writing to Bala Sulam, item, there isn't a happier state in one's life, but while he finds himself despaired from his own forces, meaning that he's exerted and done anything that he's capable of doing, and then he's suitable to give true prayer to the Creator. But again, this is out of happiness. You can't do this. You can't come to the host, who is the host of everything, and cry to him. That's a sign that you're not happy from him, that you're kicking everything he's done. You feel bad in his world. So what are you coming to ask for? You come to ask only to resemble him. That's why it's called the gate of tears. I want to be even more in bestowal, but it's out of happiness, because they are already in a state of two who love each other, understand the connection between them, and also the host and the guest. They are in friendship between them, and they clarify how they can connect even more and fulfill each other. It's a very, very important sign. Therefore, if you see people who are crying, weeping in sorrow, the common people like doing that. They think that by that they have a reward. Like Rabash always laughed that in the Yom Kippur and in the days before it,
the high holidays,
people always cried. And no, but Yom Kippur is a day of happiness, a special day of happiness. Okay? Yes. How do you maintain this happiness in work? This happiness can remain only on the condition that he has support from the group, that he receives the security and the knowledge that he's walking in the high, in the correct path, and he's lacking nothing, and he's in the world of Ein Sof. He only has to reveal it, and this revelation, in order to bestow, that he's willing to be satisfied with what he has even. And the group has to give him all of these discernments on the one hand, and on the other hand, the upper light has to bring him to such a state, to correction. Yes. A person who is always in gratefulness, and he has happiness in his body, how will he advance? From what I've absorbed here, I've learned that he still needs to bring himself a deficiency, that it's not happiness. That's the problem. Where will he get a deficiency from? He has to be included from the other souls, and in the connection with them, he can take upon himself their deficiencies that he wants to connect with, and these mutual deficiencies he raises above. Meaning, he raises the place of shattering. He wants it to be corrected, because by that he gives contentment to the Creator. Because by doing so, he constructs the vessel where the Creator can be revealed. Slowly the Zohar brings us the mind and the heart. It's not that we can immediately listen to it and it just all gets sorted out. We read and we read a little more. We have to let the light work. Very simple. The more the better. And then a person goes through all these states and these changes and confusions, and he's thrown from one end to the other. But alongside with that, things are clarified. That's the path. Yes. Yosef from Jerusalem is asking, is happiness in the path, is that a sign of walking correctly towards the king's palace? It's a sign, but it's not the only sign. We can see, for example, a chassid, that in the chassidut, the Kabbalistic customs were accepted in a very clear manner. And one of the signs, one of the customs in the, that the Hasidim have is that you have to be in happiness all the time and sing songs and to laugh and to pass on this happiness from one to the other. It's like they accepted this as their daily behavior without the internality that needs to be attained. And that as a result of that you have happiness, that you have happiness from good deeds. But just like it says in the prayer book, you cry here, for them they learned that you have to be in happiness. And a person can't show the other one that he's in sorrow. How can one be in sorrow in the Creator's world? So we have to discern between what a regular person from the street is making an effort to be in happiness from for this reason or another, and we want to be in happiness because we want to raise a request to the Creator to correct a state that will be in happiness that we don't need, but only to be in the vessels of bestowal. Yes. But if I'm already in happiness, what should I ask him for it? Why should I ask him for it? For the vessels of bestowal. I'm happy that I've reached this request, that I've reached the gate of tears. The gate of tears is tons of happiness. I've reached a state that I'm just bursting out of this happiness, out of the greatness of the state that I'm in, that I'm finally facing the Creator with my request, and this request is now accepted, and the light comes to me and reforms me, and I'll be able to do an action in order to bestow. That's called the gate of tears. It's all opposite than those landlords think. In spirituality, that's what it is. All these names have a tendency of bestowal in order to bestow. And therefore, they're slightly different than what we're used to. Still, it's not talking about weeping or about laughter like we think is in this world, but it's talking about spiritual inner states which are named like that. There are different styles of questions about the intention in the study. One of them is, during the readings I'm not able to concentrate. Can you give me advice how I'll be able to concentrate on the text itself? What's disturbing him? He wants to eat, to drink. He has problems that he's scattered. His thoughts are scattered. Maybe he'll think that if he's not concentrating during the reading in the content of it, then he's harming the others. He's drilling a hole in the ship. And then he has great troubles for himself and for everyone. He must make an effort to be connected as much as possible to what the Zohar is talking about, as much as he can. He's in this state as a child or a baby or a man or a woman, like in the Noah's Ark, that there are other animals there, or a different grain of wheat, or birds, never mind who, as long as he's included. He's thinking from his own level about the purpose and about advancement. making an effort, maybe after a moment his mind just forgets about it, and after half an hour he remembers again, and then a minute later he forgets again. That's not important. What's important is the effort. Yes. A little more about happiness. Out of Shamati, item 58, it says, happiness is illumination from above, which is revealed by man, which is the good deeds, meaning if a person accepts upon himself the burden of the divinity for eternity, then he receives the illumination from above, which is eternality. And even if it's known to one that he will descend from his current level, then he still judges him to his current state. Meaning if a person decided that he's going to accept providence for eternality, then by that he has happiness and illumination. And this illumination that shines on him, that's called happiness. So it's not a beastly state, but it's a special light. In general, in spirituality, we speak only about the lights and vessels and the screens in between. Yes, Amikam. In item 230, he writes that from the day the temple was restricted, it says, and there thou shalt serve the gods, and a god that hath integration every day. What's the difference here when he writes God, or that he writes the Creator in a different verse? I don't know. You can say about all the names: Ekye, Lokim, Shaddai, Avaya, names of the Creator, or another 1,001 different names. In the Zohar, soon you're going to find thousands of terms of names for the upper force that a person gives according to the feeling of gematria that he has within him, the numeric value of the letters. So you can ask, what's the difference between this feeling and the other feeling? There is obviously some sort of connection, that in both states it's a good feeling. Okay, so reach it and you'll see. Nothing to explain here. What I'll tell you, this is from the left line, in the degree of Tiferet, this is in the middle line, which is in the level of Nehi. So what can you attain out of that? Now I know where it's from. It's just, well, we're not aiming to reach that. And besides, the truth is, in every state you have thousands of discernments. Go ahead. And these are the generations of Esav. Item 233. These are the generations of Esav. The sons of Esav were not counted in the life of Isaac, as were the sons of Jacob. However, what does it write about Esau? And Isaac expired, etc. It is written, these are the generations of Esau, who is Edom. This is so because only Jacob and his sons are in Isaac's lot and share. Because of that, Jacob and his sons, which are the part of the Creator, were counted. But with Esau, who is not on the side of faith, the writing calculated, because you have to learn how to correct these vessels, the writing calculated after Isaac died. And then his past was separated from the Kedusha onto another place. Item 234. After Isaac died and Esav parted to his side, it is written, and Esav took his wives away from his brother Jacob. This was because he left the principal as well as the profit for Jacob. He left him the enslavement of Egypt, which is the principal as well as the profit from the enslavement of Egypt, which is the inheritance of the land, and sold him his share in the cave of Machpelah, and departed from the land from the faith and from his share as he departed from everything. So we can see how the upper light that departs, it causes these correct, good scrutinies along the path. Isaac departs, and then it's clearer to us. When this illumination departs, called Isaac, so we learn what the connection between the desires that have remained in the soul. The corrected part, the incorrected part, we're capable of correcting, we're incapable of correcting, and then these desires immediately are revealed. But beforehand, they were held. They were blessed by the awakening from above, called Isaac. Then a person feels everything's fine. There wasn't such a battle, a feeling that the desires of Esav are against. Because the upper light that works on it doesn't give them the opportunity to work against it. And that's what we learn, that the department of the light and the coming of the light, it is all to shake the vessels, to clarify the desires, to here or there. But there always has to be the additional clarification. Item 235. How was Jacob sharing everything? How good was Jacob sharing everything, since Esav did not stay with him, but parted him, and went to him to his own chair and destiny. And Jacob stayed holding on to his father's and forefather's lot. This is why it is written, and went into a land away from his brother Jacob, since he did not want the share, the lot, and the fate of Jacob's faith. Because it's in order to bestow, and they're the vessels of reception. They're not able to understand how you can be in bestowal, because the opposite, the vessel itself, the desire itself from bestowal, how's it possible?
If I feel hunger, how can I understand by this that this vessel specifically can be meant for bestowal? If it's so internal that only in that I feel the fulfillment. It's impossible to understand. Happy is the lot of Jacob, Yaakov, as it is written, for the portion of the Lord is his people, Yaakov the lot of his inheritance. This ties a person to this melody here, this stream in the Zohar. But all the time, we should search within ourselves for these discernments. Every word, what is this within me? What are my desires and my sensations, my attributes? That's an obligation. And it's very much dependent upon the collective thought in the world kli. We see, look, we have friends in Moscow, Berlin, Toronto, St. Petersburg, and in Israel we have also many groups now. There's many more around the world. We all need to uphold one another. Then surely each one will have the correct sensitivity, because the sensitivity towards spirituality comes in the middle between us, between human beings, in the connection or lack of connection between us. The main thing is that it's together. Either together or against being together. But the main thing is that we're scrutinizing this connection between us, about the connection between us. These are the kings, 236. When the Creator created the world, He divided the land into seven borders, corresponding to the 70 ministers appointed over the nations of the world. which are externality, Chagat Nehim, where each consists of 10, thus 70, and the Creator divided those appointees into 70 nations, each with its proper one, as it is written. When the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the children of men, He set the borders of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. Beyond the 70 attributes, which are in Zeranpin, in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the upper one, Havaya, we have nothing more beyond that. Below is only the will to receive substance. And the entire study is how this substance receives these attributes, these 70 attributes, that it matches, resembles itself in these attributes, or that these attributes enter the substance and imprint them, the substance. It doesn't matter how you express it. The main thing is that the connection between the 70 attributes of Zeranpin and the Malchut that wants to resemble it. She wants to be as a nukva towards him, towards all the forms that it has. That's called there is coupling between them. The nullification of the Malchut with respect to the Zeranpin, to the extent that the Malchut is capable of nullifying herself, her substance, to adhere to the Zeranpin, and it doesn't matter what forms, the forms are always of bestowal, which are against the Malchut. The main thing here is the connection, the hug of the left, of the right, and the Shikin, and so on, between them. Meaning the different measures of connection between them. The Malchut and her substance and her thickness of root 1, 2, 3, and 4, she receives a copy from Zeranpin. And then she's adhered in him in her part. And she matches her parts towards him. The main thing here is the Malchut is the light, the bestowal, and then the Zeranpin is the receive and intention to bestow. 237. And of all the ministers and appointees that were given to all the nations, there is none so despicable in the eyes of the Creator as the one appointed over Esav. This is because his side is the side of impurity, and the side of impurity is despised of the Creator. The result of the desires from the breaking of the vessels, they all fell to the will to receive. But we're speaking about corrections here, from Noach and onwards. And thus, these corrections are already beginning to sort, to arrange our desires. Those same desires which were not able to be corrected up till now, that we already have these attributes that we've received up till now, Avraham, Yitzchak, and now Yaakov, the middle line is revealed. Whoever cannot join from our desires to these three lines, he's impure, we cannot use him. We have to put it on the side and wait till there will be additional force in the system to work with him. After many beatings and many actions, we call thousands of years, that from the side of the sanctity he receives additional forces and intention to bestow, and then he can once again turn to these same vessels called the nations of the world. But finally, in the end, they will all be corrected. The question is one, that now that by these three lines, Chesed, Din, Rachamim, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, that exit is now clarified the part that we cannot work with, which is called for now Esav. And also not so much, because from Esav there will be many more discernments which pass to Yaakov, Kavircho, Gid Hanashe, and many more things. Like with Lavan that we learned, the entire Beit Yaakov comes from Lavan. your daughters are my daughters. Everything you have has come from me. What did you come with? And now look how you're leaving me. You received everything from me. Meaning we are scrutinizing the vessels bit by bit as they can join the will to bestow. It's called that we are gathering chush. And the minister of Esav came from those small degrees behind the grindstone, and from the emptiness and the red qualities, as it is written, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and cursed art thou from among all cattle. Grindstone and vehicle are Netzach and Hod, called grinders, for they grind man for the righteous. Netzach is called vehicle, and Hod is called grindstone. They are called by these names because there is harsh din in Hod, from which the Masach of the lock is made. For this reason, everything is grinded on it, and it is there from which the righteous is man. And it is known that the din does not act above its place, but only below its place. Hence, the degrees past the grindstone, Hod de Zeranpin, are affected by the harsh din in the grindstone and cannot receive gadlut, adulthood. Hence, they are in katnut, smallness. It is also known that the degree that extends from the left line, when it shines from above downwards, are devoid of any light because the nukva is regarded as a frozen sea. And those two deficiencies are in Esav's flesh. Rav says, lack of chasadim, because it's from above below, not in bestowal, where the drawing of the light from above below, not below upwards. There's a lack of corrections. Meaning, what lack of corrections? Esav is a vessel of reception that we have here. There's a correction here to bestow on the intention to bestow and to receive on the intention to bestow. Esav demands great corrections in order to correct him and adjoin him to sanctity. That only in the end of correction, by all sorts of actions, that up until the end of correction and in the action in Gemara Tikkun, that we do reach a state that Esav joins the sanctity, the intention to bestow. Okay? Okay, let's go onwards. Esav's minister comes from the small discernments that operate in the degrees past the grindstone, due to the harsh din there. This is also why he is small. Moreover, he comes from the left line when it shines from above downwards, Chokhmah without chasadim, at which time all the degrees that extend from there are empty. And the writings say two things about him. Behold, I make thee small among the nations. And two, thou art greatly despised. This is because he extends from the left line, and the left line extends from Bina, which is regarded as the color red. And since he is empty, it is considered despised. And he is also regarded as the primordial serpent, of which it was said, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat. This is so because being from past the grindstone, his legs were cut off by the force of the harsh din that is there, and he was cursed, upon thy belly shalt thou go. Meaning, he cannot use his will to receive in the form of which he's advancing. And since it is from the left, it is empty and was cursed, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. It is said about Esav, thou art greatly despised, like the serpent who was cursed. Cursed art thou from among all cattle and from among all beasts of the field. We can't use these desires in any condition. We need only to scrutinize them and to separate them, to be separated from them, and to use what is left after the scrutinization. We see that on all levels, all these desires belong in some total to Esav. There are not yet desires here. There's no forces to bring them to bestow. There are very big forces, big desires. The text explains why the kings of Edom ruled before there was a king for the children of Israel. It is known that the small one is corrected first, and then the greater one. Accordingly, Yaakov should have been corrected first, and then Esav, because it is written, he called Esav his elder son, and Yaakov is the young one. But the Zohar explains that with respect to the roots, Esav is considered small, and Yaakov as greater than him. This is why it is written, I make thee small among the nations. 238. In the lower degrees from Chazeh de Zon and downwards, where Chasadim appear in Chochmah, there are degrees over degrees, and all are different from one another. All the degrees are both separated and connected to one another in a way that the malchut of all the degrees are separated from one another. And malchut connects to malchut too. This is so because the order is that one comes in and one comes up, and they are united in one na'ah.
That all the three lines, they work in harmony, in general incorporation. Continue. The light of Chasadim enters through the Masach Dechirik in the middle line. And then the light of Chochmah in the left line rises and shines from below upwards in bestowal. Rav adds, thus, all three lines are connected in one knot of the middle line, connected together. Had it not been for the light of Chasadim in the right line, Chochmah would not have shone on the left. And had it not have been for the middle line, the right and left would not have clothed one another. Thus, all three are interconnected. Actually, two are connected, right and left. But the degree of their connection to bestow to the Creator is called the middle line. Therefore, it's called that the three of them are connected. Go ahead. Item 239. The knot of Masach Techirik has a level, the level of the middle line. And there are three knots in that level, since the middle line contains all three lines within it. And each knot contains one crown, Gar, as it is written, upon the crown wherewith his mother crowned him. And in each crown is the force of one dominion of the Masach, of the lock, which is Malchut of the first restriction, which serves as Gar in each degree. That first you cut the Gar, use the Vak from below to above as much as possible. That's the correction of the middle line, screen of the Chirik. Item 240. The governing force of the lock was appointed by the crown above at the gar of the degree, where its place is set. Also, it was appointed to descend to the vak of the degree until the stars and signs were tied to it. Each governing force that exists within each of the three crowns has one star and one sign in it, and all the stars relate to the degrees above, and all the signs to the degrees below. For this reason, each degree is crowned in its proper place. You can resemble that to, like when we study that in each and every degree, there's the Galgal Ta'anayim, which consists of the half of the upper one and the half of the lower one. That each degree, half of it is in the upper and half of it is in the lower one. And what is about the degree itself? Noga, third middle part of Tiferet, where the freedom of choice is, to where to ascribe itself, either to above or to below. Sign, a collection of stars connected to one another with a single root to all of them. Stars indicates that they are not connected to each other and each turns its own way. The connection of the Sefirot is that Chokhmah does not shine with chasadim in the right, and chokhmah does not receive the chasadim in the right if not by the decision of the middle line. All three need each other and are connected to one another. Hence, the whole reason for the connection is the light of Chokhmah, which cannot shine without Chasadim. For this reason, this applies only in the Vak of each degree, where the key, Ateret Yesod, shines, and the Yud parts from the Avir, and the light of Chokhmah appears there. However, in the gar of each degree, where the force of the lock governs, meaning malchut of the first restriction, the aleph does not depart its avir, and the chasadim are covered and despair from chokhmah. Thus, there is no reason for the middle line to connect the sefirot to one another, which is why they are considered separated. And for this reason, the sefirot in the gar of the degree, which are connected to one another, are called fortunes, since the stars in them are interconnected. And the sefirot in the gar of the degree are called stars, for they are separated from one another like a separate star. It is written, for their faces and wings are separated above, since they are connected below in Vak and separated above in Gar. This does not mean that there is no Tikkun Kavim, corrections of lines, in Gar, for there is nothing in Vak that is not received from Gar. However, this refers only to the domination, to the dominion. This means that there is no dominion to the connecting force there, and it is seemingly absent there, which is why they are called stars. They're not using these discernments. Still hasn't. We haven't reached the time both of the separate, that's it, cannot be connected. The locks governing force is in the gar of the degree, but its illumination spreads and descends in the vak of the degree. This is why he says that the governing force of the lock is appointed in the gar of the degree, which is its core. As for its illumination, it descends and shines below in the vak of the degree, since the gar, called stars, are included in it. Vak is called fortunes, but its presence is in the stars, and its illumination is in the forces. This means that the star and fortune do not necessarily operate in the governing force in the left. There are stars and fortune even in the governing force on the right, which is entirely chasadim. With respect to the star, there is no iskalelut of chokhmah in it, and with respect to fortune, it does have his kalelut, incorporation of chokhmah. Stars are ascribed to the gar of the degree, and fortunes are related to the vak of the degree. Hence, there are two types of gar. The first, relating to chasadim, received from the gar of the degree, which is pure avir. Second, relating to the chokhmah that is received from the vak of the degree. Thus, there are two kinds of crowns, and each degree is crowned according to the discernment properly assigned to it. Well, that's clear. He's telling us in general what could be. How the Rishimot or the desires in the clarification, how they can be above the Chazen each and every degree and below the Chazen each and every degree. Now the criticism is that all of it should be accepted from below to above, meaning in bestowal, in vak, and there'll never be an attraction from above to below in gar, meaning in the will to receive. That's how all the degrees work. Yes. From New York, they're asking, isn't that too much material for one work? It sounds too complicated. Why, does he have to remember something? They're so smart sitting there. First of all, I can see they're falling asleep, right? Okay, good, maybe a little more will penetrate, because the mind is no barrier. That's it. So the question is as following. We're reading and reading and reading and reading the Zohar. In the meantime, we can't talk about the discernments yet, because we don't feel them. After many hours, let's say 100 hours, we'll begin feeling what the Zohar talks about in an emotional manner. In the meantime, it's still concealed, like out of the fog, a certain attraction from here, from there. That's how it happens in the meantime. That's called Sugula. And after hours and hours and hours of study, after we'll receive this fascination, this impression from different words, that against each and every word I'll have a different impression: hot, cold, up, below, bestowal, reception, gar, vak, esav, Jacob, Leah, Rachel, all of these trees or animals that will I'll have such fascinations from. I'll be able to talk to others as well. We'll be able to participate in the conversation to some extent. Also, a little bit. There's no need for it, really. But still, a person will have a mutual language with his friends, because they will also be in this feeling, in this awareness of this new reality. It's something very special. Not simple. And when it happens, it is truly salvation. But it happens after hours and hours of study. We can repeat what we've read even a few times. We can reread it after a week, the same text. There is certain benefit for this, that a person is reminded that what a person went through, even if he understood nothing, he has some sort of connection to what, to his experience. And the next time that he goes through this experience, even if some time has passed, then he feels he's been here already. I've done this in this film. Just like that. He doesn't know why. Something is familiar. Although I don't know any word here, or action, or a place, time, movement, anything. I've already been there. Therefore, I'm not saying that there isn't any use in rereading it. We can. But in the meantime, we're continuing. We can begin from what we studied 2 or 3 weeks ago. No problem at all.
We also have to, we can go through the Zohar quickly. We have desire to do this because we want to take out these books to light. Thus, we have to go over these books to read them, go over corrections. But towards the reading and the environment, the study, reading, we can really go over the same article from end to beginning and from beginning to end, again and again. Okay, a little bit more. 241. When the degrees are separated, meaning in Gar, there is an ending connection between them. That is, the domination of the lock stops the illumination of Chokhmah until it connects to its proper place, meaning until its illumination descends to Vak. And all the degrees of impurity which are on the left side divide into several ways, which are keys, and trails, which are locks. This pertains to the red Gvurot that extend from Bina, which is Edom. Edom also means red in Hebrew. For this reason, the Gvirot below are regarded as thousands and tens of thousands. Even though the left side extends from the place of Vak, where there is domination of the key, the illumination of the lock spreads there as well. Hence, the impure side that extends from the left necessarily contains the dominion of the lock as well, and thus receives its katnut from there, because he is in restriction. He is incorporated in this restriction. He agrees to it. He does not operate more in anything. But he agrees to this, that he is restricted now. The domination of the lock in the place of Gav halts the illumination of Chokhmah. Its illumination spreads to Vak as well, although that place is dominated by the key. From the key extend ways, and from the lock extend trails. Thousands depend on the illumination of the key, which contains illumination of Chokhmah, since they are thousands in Chokhmah, and tens of thousands depend on the illumination of the lock, which uses Gar uncovered Chasadim, since tens of thousands extend from Gar and from the discernment of Chasadim. Katnut extends to Esav by the force of the illumination of the lock, and receives the illumination of the left from above downwards by the force of the illumination of the key from which it receives the emptiness and becomes greatly despised. But without these great vessels of reception, we cannot go, because they give us the opportunity to work above them. You can't separate some part of the Parzuf, some part of the Kelim. Like, oh, I'm not working with Esav. You do, but it's work with them in a way so that afterwards you can come with it to receive what intention to bestow. So in man's world, man's Parzuf, all his attributes, all his desires, he doesn't make that calculation with them. We have this in each degree, each desire. 242. And these are the kings that reigned in the land of Edom. The land means the side of Esav in the degree, as it is written, Esav, who is Edom. Also, all these kings come from the side of the spirit of impurity. Before any king reigned over the children of Israel. This is so because those degrees that stand at the gatehouses below, the degree of Esav, are the first to be completed. This is why Yaakov said, "Let my Lord pass over before his servant," since the degrees of Esav are the first to enter and be completed. It is so because first the lower degrees are children of Israel, are corrected, and then the high degrees. For this reason, before any king reigned over the children of Israel, for until now it was not time for the kingdom of heaven to govern and to unite with the children of Israel. This is why he said, "Let my Lord pass over before his servant." 243. These vessels need to be revealed. You can't work with them. This has to be proved that you can't work with them, and rather work above them. These desires have to be revealed as a basis, a foundation for the work. Without sorting them, cutting them, arranging them, you can't reveal the vessels of bestowal. Otherwise it will be to bestow on the intention to receive. 243. After these degrees are completed, the kingdom of heaven will awaken to rule over the lower ones. And when she begins to govern, she will begin with the smallest of all tribes, which is Binyamin, which is King Shaul, who comes from Binyamin. With Binyamin, the Malchut kingdom began to awaken. Afterwards, Malchut came to its place, to King David, and existed in him, so as to never part from him. That's how we correct all the desires, from the smallest to the greatest. Any questions? Tzvi from Neve Savion is asking, reading the Zohar, does it operate even that I don't feel it? Don't worry, you'll feel it operating on you. It operates quite a bit. Sit tens of lessons like this, and then we'll see him, and let's hear him speak about how much does it influence him. He'll feel the changes very greatly. There are big changes. You know the different forms. First, in the concentration in life, what he pays attention to and what he doesn't, the internal sensation that he's more inwardly concentrated, that he has more place for his attitude towards others. In him, he suddenly begins to dream and think about all sorts of actions that he reads about in the Zohar, and he describes it in all sorts of manners which are tied to our world. And more and more, it's clear that a person changes. The Zohar very much changes him. It calms him, makes him more internal, more serious, more purposeful. Zohar influences this very much, very strongly. And it's not dependent on how much he understands, rather it depends upon his exertion, how much he tries to make the effort to perceive of what's written in here. There's a few questions here about reading the Zohar with the women and children. How do we pass this impression on to children? If the wife wants to listen, he can speak with her about it. If she doesn't want to listen, he can't do this. There's no coercion in spirituality. You have to be very careful not to place pressure. But children, we don't advise giving them Zohar. We have on our site much. There's quite a bit of other things, means to correct the child for his spiritual advancement that match his age more. From one state to another, that he can advance the child this way with much material and every age and stage that the child is in. But now the Zohar, we're beginning to present this to the nation, and the time will yet come that we will worry, we will see how we can also lower it to ages which are smaller. For now, this still needs scrutinization. It's not only for today, this is for tomorrow. From Haifan, in Learning Center, he's asking regarding the preparation for the learning Zohar. It's like a new person who joins, he's like the older ones. Yes, that's correct. If a new person who joins us, he's taking part in the same preparation as and study as with all the veterans. It's like the child who's born to a family. He doesn't have to go through the entire history. He's born into the 21st century with all the technology and everything here too as well. And he takes part in this. That's how it is with a person who comes to the wisdom of Kabbalah. He's incorporated with us together. The moment he comes, everything is promised for him, just like with us. We invite everybody to take part. And in this, we'll end. We'll pass on to the next part of our lesson.